On January 6th, when the conference meets, I intend to cast my vote for Senator Bill Frist of Tennessee to be our new leader.
Senate Democratic Leader Tom Daschle says the new Senate leader will have to do more than merely disavow Lott's word. He says Frist will have to confront the party's record on race and embrace policies that promote healing and opportunity for all Americans. President Bush says he knows it was a very difficult decision for Lott to make. CNN Radio's Suzanne Malveau reports from the White House.
President Bush actually got the news from his chief of staff, Andy Card, this morning. He then called Lott. They talked for about 10 minutes. It was a warm conversation. We are told that the president thanked him for his leadership, for his role in the Senate, as well as for his friendship.
The president has said that Lott's remarks, which seemed favorable to segregation, were offensive and wrong. President Bush says the Iraqi arms declaration of yesterday was a big letdown. He calls it a disappointing day for those who want peace. Sources tell CNN the president is essentially giving his approval to sending another 50,000 U.S. troops to the Persian Gulf. That would bring the total number of U.S. forces there to 100,000. This is CNN Radio News.
Bill Hendry is now on twice a day.
Oh, my God, man.
Now 10 in the morning and 7 at night.
That is compelling radio.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Oh, by the way, it should be noted that this band, the Night Watchers, they cut a new version of our Snuff Watch. All we have to do is wait for somebody to die now. Maybe Trent Lott will kill himself, then we'll be able to play it. Rick, here's... I'm not making this up. So we got this guy, Wilton, is in this band. They sent me a song called... They sent us two things. They sent us a new version of the Snuff Watch and a song called I Just Ate a Puppy. And I'm probably going to eschew playing the latter song there. But anyway, he has a new Snuff Watch, which we'll play the next time somebody eats it. Also, F. Matt with a total TV cable package with the modem for free.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. In just a few moments, we'll welcome the lovely Kim Morgan to the show. Also, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian going to be with us here in just a few. Let's, as they say, go to the phones. All right, this is Nate in Portland. How you doing, man?
I'm fine, brother. How you doing?
I am rolling. And so we got this web pad here from the good folks at Budget Computer at 503-646-1776. If you can answer the following two things for me, I need to know the name of Roscoe P. Coltrane's dog and the name of the bar owned by Boss Hogg.
Well, I think the dog's name was Flash.
Yes.
And I believe that the bar was called The Board Net.
There you go. That's Nate. So he scores himself with that web pad. It's not up there with the Coy and Vance question. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Best I could do on short notice. Especially since I could never come up with an appropriate facts of life question because they all seem to... All my facts of life questions, people already know that the answer is always that twitchy cousin Jerry. Everybody knows that, like, no matter what, I can never come up with a question about the facts of life doesn't involve the limpy one. I mean, that's what they're all... Anyway... 503-250-1080. Oh, coming up this hour, by the way, we have that Lord of the Rings rap song we'll be getting to. As well as something else that escaped me. Oh, yeah, Rob from the House of Rick will have the comprehensive Rick Emerson apology list for the week of December 16, 2002. So that's coming up as well. Heath, you're in Portland. You're on Hot Talk today. KHK, what's up?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to say that every day you have Jolie on to tell you what chicks think.
Yeah.
And then you riff on what she says, and it's not really what... Rick and Matt think. It's like she's, and no matter how inane or babbly or ridiculous it sounds, that really is what they think, and that really is what they want you to do.
So no matter how retarded the advice, I should just smile and swallow it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because that's the segment.
Because that's what chicks are. All right. Okay. I'm just saying. There you go. There's Heath and Portland. I'm allowed to express an opinion on her advice, which is usually insane. I'm just saying. Let's welcome to the show our good friend, the lovely and vivacious Kim Morgan. You can read her in each week's Oregonian, including the A&E section. You can hear her Saturdays, most Saturdays anyway, with Billy Turner on Big Fat Radio 7 to 9. And you can read her DVDjournal.com. How are you?
I'm fine.
nice today.
Thank you.
You've got kind of a, it's an all-black ensemble today. Black mini skirt, wide black belt, black, is that like a velour, what kind of shirt is that? Like velour or velvet or something?
Velour.
Yeah, it's like a black velour thing, and then the boots, and those are, see, you and Sarah, man, I don't know what it is.
What?
They kill
it's
people with those. No, it's those.
Fashion, come on.
I don't know anything about that.
We do have a fashion sense, yeah.
I have nothing. Nothing at all. This is Tim Riley, who's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 2:06. I'm Tim Riley. This news is brought to you by no one. Well, it's their loss, isn't it?
Oh, but I should tell you that this hour of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Michael Hacker Photography, professional full-service photography specializing in weddings. Give Michael Hacker Photography a call.
And who are you and what have you done with Rick?
Well, I told you I'd get to it. You weasel.
Dude, there were two of them today.
Look, I'm doing the best I can, man. I'm batting 500. If I was in baseball, this average, I'd be an all-star by now. You can give Michael Hacker Photography a call at 503-816-4944. 503-816-4944. All right.
High winds and snow swirling through high elevations in southern Oregon, forcing motorists to take refuge at a Red Cross shelter when they can't cross the Siskiyou Pass. Gusting winds creating blizzard-like conditions. You can't go to California from Oregon, at least for 48 hours. Three Greyhound buses traveling south on the I-5 to California couldn't cross, and all passengers had to spend the night together at a Red Cross shelter.
That's got to be fun.
Three Greyhound buses.
If you take a Greyhound bus, seriously, you're just asking for trouble. I mean, there's no taking it. You know what Greyhound buses are? They're just we were talking about this yesterday about Walmart. They're the Walmart of transportation. Not so much in the quality of service. It's just the type of people on there. Just take a good look around the next time you're at a Greyhound station. And I've traveled on Greyhound buses. I mean, you all probably have. Well, Matt probably hasn't.
No.
Sarah probably hasn't. Kim and I probably have traveled on Greyhound buses.
I had to when I was a child. I had to when I was 7 years old by myself.
Oh, see, I didn't have to go by myself.
I had to
my
go
mom.
By myself to go visit my dad.
Yeah, I had to come to Portland, actually, from Kennewick to Portland and back with my mom and my infant brother. And so it's like mom and brother, and then I'm on the other side, and the seat between is that diaper bag. You remember the diaper bag? It's always like smelly, all nasty. It's got that weird warm stench coming off it. And every third seat on the Greyhound bus has to have a diaper bag or someone who's breaking a lot of wind.
Or being squirted in the eye by somebody opening up a shaking can of old Milwaukee.
See, that's usually the guy that sat next to me, the ex-Vietnam vet that wanted to talk to me about his problems.
You wanted to see my prosthetic?
Yeah.
I'm here because my whole family was bludgeoned to death, and this is the only way I could get home.
That's right, Tim. You got it.
That's who sits next to me. I always put on my headphones and crank up that music.
Did you ever wonder, does this happen to you guys, where you wonder sometimes if you put off some come talk to me psycho vibe?
Oh, yes, I've wondered that my whole life.
Yeah.
I actually had a psychiatrist tell me, maybe you should do something different in the way that you conduct yourself,
Maybe Kim. You shouldn't show your ankles so much.
Well,
maybe you shouldn't show off your skin and look all haughty.
I thought that was sort of an inappropriate thing to say.
That's a completely inappropriate thing to say. What were you leading him on?
I don't do anything.
Yeah. It's like I'll sit on the bus.
It's nothing to do with sexuality. It's a vibe you're talking about.
It's totally right. It's like when you're in a bar and there's the one drunk guy and he always sits next to you.
You probably think I'm drunk, don't you?
Yeah.
Tim, you get it, don't you?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. And I don't even show anybody my ankles.
And we are poorer for it. And they always call you buddy. They always, like on the bus, the guys always call you buddy. Hey, buddy, can I sit there? And it's like, and I do the same thing you do, where I've got the headphones on and I've got like a book or a magazine. And so ostensibly they know I can't hear them. Even if I can, I'm not going to hear them. And I'm not.
And they just say, hey, louder. They go, hey,
hey, hey. I'll get this. They'll come in, they'll want to talk to me. And it's like, and you can just smell last month's gin and this morning's urine on them. And it's like, and I'm looking at the magazine. I got the headphones on. All my senses, I mean, I'm in a sensory deprivation zone. They should know not to contact me. But I actually get the guys who, if I don't acknowledge them, will give me the shove or the tap on the shoulder. And it's like, I'm not a violent person, but you understand how Bernard gets, like, happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because there's some mornings I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to be touched, I don't want to be talked to. You come along and prod me, it's like if I had a sharp stick, you're going to lose an eye, you know?
Well, it's...
What are we talking about?
Oh, we're in the news. Story number two.
All right.
It's time for more people to suffer. Multnomah County's $18 million in budget cuts will hurt the poor, mentally disabled kids and animal control. Nothing can be done to stop it. County commissioners heard from a 12-year-old boy with brain disorders. He said a program called Ready, Set, Go helped him to stop contemplating suicide.
I bet that was really helpful testimony, too.
Isn't that a British television show from the 60s?
I'm not sure.
Popular musicians, Ready, Steady, Go.
Well, now his program faces the chopping block, and so might his head. 150 county employees will also be laid off. Here's something that's part of growing up. Two Puyallup Junior High School gals are having their stomachs pumped after mixing too many drugs with alcohol. It was their idea of fun the last day of school before the holiday break. The girls got together at 7:30 before class this morning, taking the antidepressant drug Zoloft and chasing it with vodka.
That's not even fun.
As soon as they come to, they'll be taken to the woodshed for some good old-fashioned discipline.
That's not even an enjoyable way to get sick.
No, that's not. It doesn't work that way either. Zoloft. Well, I won't go into the.
Tell us. Enlighten us.
Zoloft will not work. I mean, Zoloft is an antidepressant that grows gradually throughout your system.
It's a time release sort of a thing. Like Prozac.
Yes, you don't. If you want to, if they wanted to, they should. I'm not going to recommend that they do this, but they
should. Well, this is Puyallup. What might be available there on the street at 7:30 in the morning?
Maybe they could have found some Xanax or something like that. That would be more.
Not that we would advocate.
I wouldn't advocate that, but. Yeah. Zoloft is just, that'll just make you sick and headaches. And it's not fun. It doesn't help people when they're depressed anyway.
And sometimes you wonder, like, do you ever know people like this that are just mixing together like the weirdest, like they just think that any combination of drugs and alcohol will work. Like they don't even care. This girl I used to date, and her thing was like black velvet and whatever pills happen to be in the person's medicine cabinet. What's this? Well, it's, you know, it'd be like Dayquil tablets. All right, black velvet, Dayquil, which does nothing. All it does, and then she ended up in the ER with a tube down your, you know, throat. Is there somebody we can call, honey? And she's having to yak it into a plastic tray. It's just not even fun.
I have heard, though, that about 3 packages of Theraflu in a drink is not bad.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I have heard this.
Did you hear that at Puyallup Junior High?
And it's not dangerous either because Theraflu is, you know, right over the counter.
It's over the counter. Can't possibly be dangerous. It's like you get those girls. When I was in school, there was this girl named Maria when I was about 7th grade that did the prototypical cry for help suicide thing where she swallowed a bunch of Tylenol.
Yeah.
And, of course, it didn't kill her. All it does is it destroys your liver, and so she's now so they told her, like, one beer and it'll kill you. Like, she just rendered her incapable of processing alcohol for the rest of her life.
Not to extend this any further, but did you have this when you were in junior high, and it seemed to only happen in junior high, where people would do that strange thing where you'd spin, and then you'd hold your breath, and you'd black out, and you'd get to get high from it? Do people know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, in my school, you didn't spin. What you would do is you'd crouch down, you put your head between your knees, you breathe in and out real fast 30 times, and then you stand up. And it was the same thing. And then
we would spin, and then
I used to spin around on the lawn, and it's like, it's never fun. It always ends with just you wanting to vomit, but you do it again anyway.
I know.
My dad had his chair that swiveled around, but it was like all greased up, and so it swiveled real fast. And so I get in, and I brace myself between two walls, and you get a few back and forth starter spins, and you go, and you let it go like you're a gyroscope. And then you just, you know, and then it's not just like pizza into the toilet, you know, a few minutes later. But then you do it again later anyway, because you're a kid. It's just like you're Homer with a stove, just touching it over and over again.
Well, it's going to be lightly raining this afternoon at some point. Highs in the mid-40s tonight. A chance of light rain again. Lows in the 30s. Scattered showers tomorrow and Sunday. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Live around the world at KOTK.com.
I got this out-of-control nose hair, I got to get these clippers again. I got this. And it's always just in the right nostril. Quit spinning in your chair.
Uh-huh.
Jesus, God. The hell was that?
That was what?
It's like Christina was in here last week. She slammed her teeth into the microphone.
Oh, I know. I just moved it with my hand.
She was rolling the chair up to it and just wham, right into the microphone.
It was my big ring, darling.
Hey, by the way, we got to remember to get this person from Time Magazine, because Time is picking their person of the year on Sunday.
Person of the year.
Oh, it might be Eminem. So Eminem is one of the finalists. It's Eminem. It's Osama bin Laden, Eminem, George W. Bush. Who else? I guess it could theoretically be Trent Lott now. But I remember that Eminem and Osama bin Laden were the two first names on the list. So
how cool would it be if Eminem gets named Time's Man of the Year?
I mean, it doesn't have to be a good guy. The Ayatollah Khomeini was the Man of the Year in like 19 whatever that was, whenever the hostage crisis happened, which would have been 79-80. So he was Man of the Year, I think, in 79. So it's not. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like it would be the first time it ever happened or anything. This is Martin in Southeast Portland. What's up?
Hey, Rick, go back about getting sick real quick.
Let's
you know what works real good?
Some more. You know what?
Air in a can, that stuff that's made for computers.
Oh, dude, you don't want to screw with that, because isn't that the stuff, isn't it like gives you frostbite too, or is that a different thing?
Oh, no, you hold it away from your face and inhale it, and about 20 minutes later you'll get sick,
but
and
not,
then you'll be fine.
But of course, we're not telling people to do this, because it's what, Martin?
Air in a can.
No, wait.
No, Martin, he was cueing you to say it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to go to school.
Okay, that's Martin in Southeast Portland. Well, okay, don't.
The radio station and Fisher Broadcasting
no
do not condone
anywhere.
Or endorse the
no
views expressed on the Rick Emerson show.
Or endorse it. No, you know what I'm talking about. There's the air in the can. I know what you're talking about, too. It has that little red straw, like the WD-40. You know,
that's
and it's for
horrifying. I don't mess with that stuff.
It's for blowing dust off of like your motherboard or your computer parts or whatever, so you don't have to touch it with something. It's a clean, it's a sterile way to blow dust off.
Yeah.
Because a feather duster, of course, just puts more dust on it. But there's also the other stuff, and I don't know what the purpose of this is. There is this stuff you can buy, and maybe somebody here knows what it is. There's this stuff you can buy. It's light compressed air with a little tiny red straw, but it's like insta-freeze. And it's not liquid nitrogen. I don't know what the hell it is, but you spray stuff with it, and it instantly freezes whatever the thing is. And I had a can of it one time. I used to spray it on houseflies. And it's like you catch the housefly sitting on the counter, and you spray it with this stuff, and they immediately, it's like they freeze solid. This stuff is unbelievable. You spray it in your hand, and you'll like give yourself frostbite instantly. It's amazing. Just American, but everything, have you noticed this too, that everything America makes eventually gets turned into something you can smoke pot out of, or some sort of sexual implement. Like,
that'd
there's
a,
nothing.
That'd be a really bad summer party prank.
Yeah, like every.
Instant frostbite.
Oh, look at them. Let's see now, everybody, look at the phones. Everybody, of course, knows what I'm talking about because they've all snorted it. And so, there's nothing in America they put in a can that won't eventually be used to try to get somebody high. You know, I would wager probably between 25% and 30% of the Ready Whip that is bought in this country is not going to be used to whip anything except your brain into some sort of a synaptic malfunction. All right. Well,
don't try Tam.
That's no, Tim used to do that.
Pam?
Tim used to, and don't.
Tim.
Don't huff Pam, kid. And I
no.
Seriously don't. That'll, that, cause that screws
that'll kill
you. No, it'll kill your ass dead. Pam kills kids dead. Because they coat your alveoli. It's. Why are we talking about this? We're here with Kim Morgan. Later on, I believe Peter Carlin will probably join us at some point. How weird is it that you're here this week and Peter Carlin's flaking?
Yeah, we can't seem to find him. I talked to him earlier. He said, yeah, no problem. 2:50, we'll be good to go. And now he's, like, evaporated.
Locked in a closet with some whippets. All right, well, we'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We will continue. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk, Connecticut, the KRS, BB King.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
This guy Wilton, by the way, the guy that brought us the new version of the Snuff Watch and the I Ate a Puppy song. This is the guy, you might remember, he works for, I don't want to name the company, but he works for one of those companies that we constantly are maligning here. And so I kind of felt, you know, you feel a little twinge of guilt. You know, it's like when you spend your whole day making fun of, I don't know, people who, you know, toothless people or something, and then you see one and you feel kind of bad. Anyway, but he's the guy, he was at the toy drive last Friday, he's the guy that came up, and he came up and he said, Rick, I love your show, but you are more desperately in need of soul than any white man I have ever met in my life. It's that guy. And then he puts it again in the email, love the show, but you need soul. Then you will be aight. So. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We got this. Rick, could you please tell me who sings Here Comes Fatty with a Sack of Crap? Thanks for your help. F-Mat with a rusty plow blade.
This F-Mat is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
It's from Sue. You know, Oh, is that the, yeah, it depends on where you find it. It's one of those things on the net, so I'm told.
Here comes Betty with a sack of
And see, no two people on the net ever label it the same thing. It's like how every novelty song on the net eventually just gets labeled Weird Al Yankovic because people don't know. I have no idea who it is. But I hear the rumor is you can find it on Kazaa. That's what the people in the street say. All right. Let's see, Rick. I was already enough of a cranky, ranting old fool before I started listening to you faithfully. Now it's just gotten worse. Some rant came out of my mouth and I thought, oh God, I've been listening to Rick Emerson too long. Oh well, what can you do? That's, 1-800-727-5955. We're here with the lovely Kim Morgan. And Peter Carlin has flaked on us, by the way. It now appears that Peter Carlin, for no rhyme or reason, has simply vanished into the ether and will not be joining us, which is completely unlike him. It's something I will now hold against him
Maybe
for the rest of our time.
Maybe he's got a deadline or something. Maybe something was thrust upon him in the office that he has to complete.
Well, he could have called me. I talked to him earlier today. It's only 2 o'clock would be fine.
Takes 15 seconds to call. You know, after I got him on that panel at the David Sedaris thing, too. Weasel. All right. Let's see. We're going to go to Joe here in just a moment. Let's quickly go to the house of Rick. It's our good friend Rob. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Oh, so I got your apology list, and it's been kind of hard just to say that you should apologize to everybody because most of the people deserve it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to break it down to people you've offended that deserved it and then the few that you actually should apologize to.
Okay, this is a Rick Emerson comprehensive apology list for the week of December 16, 2002.
Okay, the first, we're going to start with the people who deserved it. The British, the French, Stinky Hippies, J-Lo, Trey Arrow, Trent Lott, Yoko Ono, and thanks for doing that Star Trek spoiler. That was fantastic.
Oh, I'm just doing my part, brother.
Okay, and now the people you actually should apologize to, the handicapped who shake and drool, and I quote.
Well, it's not my fault. I'm just, well, like, I call a spade a spade.
The toothless. Pro athletes, because they're not all criminals. Most of them, but not all of them.
All right.
And that's pretty much it for the actual people that, you know, you should apologize to.
All right.
And hey, everybody should come down to Saturday Market this weekend. It's open until Christmas Eve, last day, every day until 6. Come down and get all your last-minute gifts.
Speaking of stinking hippies.
I was going to say, is there something...
I'd rather be around the toothless.
What, is there something? Is there something specifically they should be looking for while they're there?
I don't know,
come on down. My wife works down there, and so I don't even want anybody to know exactly who my wife is, but... You know, come on down.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Thanks, Kim.
You know, I'm sorry.
The stinking hippies are across the street in the park banging their drums, not actually over there working, trying to, you know, sell their wares.
Well, they're shopping there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are rich.
Actually, the hippies are actually bumming money and asking you to stop war violence in Iraq.
Yeah, it's just nothing, you know, I want to get up another hippie thing this week. Yeah, all right. There you go, there's Rob at the House of Rick. All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Let's go to Joe in the Coop. You're on Hot Talk Today, KOTK.
Hey, I don't know what part of Kennewick you grew up on, but we never hyperventilated like that. What you do is you hyperventilate, and while you're hyperventilating, you have two knives heating on the stove, and you take a gallon milk jug and cut it in half, and as soon as you stand up, you grab the milk jug, and your buddy's standing there with just a little teeny bit of pot sitting on those hot knives. And he squeezes them together, and you take a big old burly hit, and you have three guys standing
around.
This
seems like a lot of work.
With pot? Is that what you said?
And when you pass out.
Is this something you learned in jail? Or is this from middle school?
Well, you can say that. Growing up in the Tri-Cities is like it's basically one big prison planet.
Is this like an episode of Mr. Wizard that I was somehow not... I missed
well,
it or
you
something?
Say, you do. You take a big fat bong, you bend down, stand up, take a nice burly bong hit.
Okay.
The point of us talking about is that in middle school, you don't...
This seems somewhat advanced.
The bong hit is a little harder to come by in junior high.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, if you grew up in the Tri-Cities, that's all there is to do
there.
The other thing you can do
is
that aerosol cream whip?
Oh.
Listen to this, they use nitrous oxide for the propellant.
Yeah,
so you empty it out in the last couple of quarts of nitrous oxide. Kids, you really shouldn't do this. It's wrong.
Yeah. It doesn't last long enough. I'll just tell kids that. It's not that fun.
The views expressed by Kim Morgan are her own and are not representative of anything.
It's not that fun because it doesn't even last anyway. It ruins your brain cells for no reason.
Okay.
Go out and watch a symphony and get a natural high.
I used to be high on life. It's my anti-drug.
Yes.
I used to work at this place called the BBC, which is this hideous restaurant in Kennewick. I was just young and had no idea about, I didn't know what huffing was or anything like that. But I was about 15 years old, I would work in the kitchen. This guy, Paul, who was one of the, he was the seafood line cook. He would chop the shrimp and everything. He would vanish into the cooler for long periods of time, and then he'd come up with the most blissful smile on his face. And we never could figure out why it was until later, we go in to make the custards or whatever, and you go to, and like 6-7 cans in a row, that just doesn't seem to work. And they're all just sludgy, and other ones to come out of them. All right. Yeah, don't do anything like that.
No.
It's just... And doesn't that seem like an awful lot of work? People... Here's the weird thing that I don't get about some people. People will go to so much work to become high and slothful to do very little work. Do you know what I mean? They're putting a whole lot of work into that artificial relaxation. It just seems disproportionate to the... Anyway. In Portland, Mike, you're a full-time listener. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I'm a truck driver up here, and I was wondering if we could ever get some bumper stickers promoting your show, because, I got my Osama shirt on right now.
Excellent.
That does help, but, if we had a bumper sticker on the truck, that would help, too.
Well, here's the thing, is that we got these bumper stickers made that have Like Us on them, but I think we ordered something in the neighborhood of 640,000 of them. And so they're just kind of sitting everywhere in boxes. And it's kind of like how your mom says you're not getting any custard until you clean the beets off your plate. I think we've got to get rid of all the Like Us ones first. And there's just crates and crates of them everywhere.
Well, we need to do that because I'm trying my best to spread the word out here for you. So.
Excellent. And it's much appreciated. When was the last time you'd say you spread the word to somebody?
Today.
Excellent. And to whom?
To the receptionist at, can I say the business?
Yes, you can.
Fort James on Front Street, like the paper place. Osama, what's that shirt say? I'm like, oh, here, let me show you, And I tell them what the time and everything and just totally spread the word all the time.
Excellent. God love you. All right, there's Mike in Portland. By the way, we got, and I don't really push these a lot, I don't make any money off it or anything, but if you go to rickemerson.com, we have the F. Matt shirts, we have the newest one is one of the Tim Riley is my God shirt, and then we have that's an old school one, though. It's the one that the Mike Moran shirt is, the This Is My Face, Bitch. Sure, that's what he's talking about there. All right, stuff to get to. We've got the Lord of the Rings wrap we're going to get to and stuff. And then, is there anything? Well, there's everything comes out this week, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas week. Is this the biggest release week of the year that's not, in the middle of July?
Yeah, I think so.
Somebody told me that Christmas Day is the biggest day of the year for movies.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes, like me, and you're around your family for 2-3 hours, and you got to get out of the house.
I never go to a movie. We can never go. My parents don't let us.
They just forbid it.
We're stuck in the house. Yeah.
Just block the door. No. Yeah.
No, I never go. Plus, I usually I've seen everything now, so pretty much.
Yeah. No, I can. I'm probably going to see the Two Towers. I don't know. I would think probably in the next few days, and then I know that Christmas Day in Kennewick, I'll be in. I'll get there at noon, and by about 3 o'clock, my siblings and I start looking at each other like, "What are we?" And then you go to the theater on Christmas Day, and it's just that. It's nothing but people avoiding their families.
Yeah.
So we'll get Mike here real quickly, and then and we'll do some other stuff, and then in a few, we'll take a look at all the stuff that's going to be opening. Mike, you're a first-time caller in Portland. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick, what's going on, man?
What do you got, man?
Hey, I was wondering, you really don't know what nightsticks are?
No, I'm a neophyte. Yeah, I have nothing.
What?
Well, their greatness notwithstanding, I guess I'm just not clear on the... I have nothing. So
whenever you don't have a lot of pot, those are the best.
If you were living in some country where those sort of things were legal and permissible, of course.
I'm just saying.
Okay, there you go. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Don't go anywhere. Be back. We got more with Kim Morgan. If you got a question about movies or a question about anything currently playing or a question about past films of any sort or type, she's the person to ask. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. More on the way. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. Okay, it's okay. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
You didn't have to do that in Bremerton, did you? In Bremerton, you probably got real drugs.
I mean, I never really looked for real drugs in
Bremerton.
Oh,
don't lie to me. Don't be coy with
me. You seriously don't know what knife hits are?
What, like the last one? What was it, like a class we all got invited to?
Well,
and
I mean,
didn't
come
know?
On now. You're supposed to be... No,
there's nothing as advanced.
Culture.
The knife hit thing sounds really hard. I mean, it sounds really like a lot, like there's several steps involved. And in Kennewick, it's like you just hit your head against a wall or something, or beat yourself in the face with a mallet or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. All right, start with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Can I just tell you, this is why we never win any of those community service awards. KWJJ, our sister station, is all winning these awards for helping, like, little burned children and helping to keep kids off drugs. And we're talking about, you know, no, then you heat the knife, but you got to have a glass nearby. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955. We're here with the lovely Kim Morgan, and let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show as well. With a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes, Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian. Okay, so you're not dead.
No, I'm not. But
some guy called us and told us, we weren't saying this on the air, but a guy called off air and he goes, yeah, Peter's in an auto accident. He's in the hospital right now.
Yeah.
He was like 10 minutes ago, and so suddenly I was all sad. I was feeling bad about making fun of your absence.
Were you making fun of me?
Well, because normally...
They were really badly making fun of you.
Really? What did they say, Kim?
They were saying that you were an idiot. They were saying they hated you. They don't want you on the show anymore.
It's true. It's all true.
It's over.
No, I was noting that normally you are, like, old reliable, and that Kim often plans to be here, and they
apparently
can't...
I'm the flanky one, and
Kim,
they were so surprised.
You got things to do, and then normally, like, an actual paying thing
Peter
happens.
Peter does things to do, too. I stood up for you.
No, that's nice. Thank you.
Anyway, my point is that Kim was here and you weren't, which is sort of this weird, bizarro world, kind of an opposite day sort of thing. But then I thought, but then they said you were like dead, and I felt bad about making fun of you, and now I don't. Now I'm
sort of amazing. It's the first ever Peter Carlin death hoax.
I'm zen about it again. So, but before we even lose time here, so there's all kinds of movies opening though.
Yeah.
There's Two Towers obviously has been out for a while, and it's just, I haven't seen it yet, but the word is just even better than the first one. It's just a masterpiece.
Well, I think people that like the action will like this one more. I think since it's the middle movie, it definitely feels like a middle movie, and the whole film is going to be, Peter Jackson's making one long, probably in the end, 11-hour picture, so you just have to keep that in mind when you're watching it, because it just picks up immediately from where you left off and just goes right into it.
You know what I think, when they do like these multiple segments of like, you know, an adventure type movie, I think the last segment ought to be where they're just cleaning up. Like, the adventure's over, and now they're, like, sweeping. They're going through the mail. They're sort of, like, catching up on phone calls.
It's like the,
Moving on.
Rick thought it was funny. Kim's confused.
Yeah.
You know, no, Bob's home. He's, like, he's digging through his refrigerator. There's, like, old milk he's got to get rid of. He's calling his mom. Oh, no, nothing. Not much.
Somebody told me that the final battle sequence is just jaw-dropping.
Yeah,
it's just
great.
Stunning.
And Gollum is amazing. I don't want to talk too much about it because people should just go see
all
it.
Right.
Gangs of New York also opened.
Gangs of New York, Scorsese, which I hear is good but not great.
No, it could have been a lot better. There's a rumor going around that there's some, like, 3.5-hour, 4-hour cut that someone saw that apparently is...
Before wonderful. What do they call him? Harvey Scissorhands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can definitely feel that this film has been edited quite a bit. It's a really long film that feels rushed.
How's
that
mustache?
Which one?
Daniel Day-Lewis's.
Because John C. Reilly's got a great one, too. But, no, Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing in the film, and he's... You know, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis he's been a cobbler in Venice or Florence or something for the last 3 or 4 years. He hasn't been acting.
Oh, you mean in real life?
In real life, yes.
Well,
he's been making shoes in Italy.
For what reason?
I don't know.
But you're right. He looks just like Snidely Whiplash in this movie.
He's so great. He's got a really interesting accent.
He's got this overly enunciating way of speaking
that is
kind of intriguing. Now the Spike Lee movie, 25th Hour with Edward Norton, which is. I am a big Spike Lee fan, so I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if it's good or not.
I didn't think it was good.
Now, but you're kind of anti-Spike Lee,
I'm
though.
Not anti-Spike Lee. I love Do the Right Thing. I think that,
that was 20 years ago.
As Matt said earlier, I was like, Spike Lee's a great filmmaker. Matt goes, let's Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
And then it's
silence. Sorry, I was thinking of the first one. No, Do the Right Thing was like 12 years ago.
She's got to have it.
She's got to have it. And then
I don't
Do
like
the right
she's
got to
have it too much. And
Do the Right Thing, though, took a totally bizarre twist at the very end. Because like for the first like 80% of the movie, he does this expert job of sort of drawing out everyone's petty hatreds and prejudices. But then in the end, it's kind of like he sort of sided with the brothers, ultimately.
Well,
because Radio Raheem was really sort of a despicable character, but then he was kind of made into a martyr at the
end. No, the whole point of the movie is Because people are always like, oh, there's this riot and how irresponsible that he shows the looting. What Spike Lee's point was, is that, and I think was borne out, which is that the audience has always talked to Spike, how can you make this movie where looting is depicting as, okay, how can you have... The character's name, I want to say Mojo, but it's not that. You know what I'm talking about. Spike Lee's character. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Spike Lee's character. Anyway, they're like, how can you have your character in the movie throw this trash can through the window and start the riot? And Spike Lee points out that they never say, well, how can you... Nobody ever focuses on the fact that the cops kill this guy basically for resisting arrest. They always focus on the trash can through a window. And his point is that the movie shows that people value property more than life.
Well, how can... I mean, why not? I mean, he's also showing a reality in life,
too. But it wasn't
too.
Just the property. I mean, there was a...
I'm just saying.
It's a symbolic gesture, really. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
I don't know. I think Spike Lee shows flashes of greatness in all of his films,
yeah.
Even in Summer of Sam, even in... And Malcolm X, I think, is not...
There are sequences always,
sequences
though.
That are great, but then on a whole, I just never find his films to be as good as they should be. And I think The 25th Hour is sadly one of them.
All right, which is too bad, because I went to see Summer of Sam, and I was hugely disappointed.
John Leguizamo is fantastic in that film, though.
He is. Well, great performer, and there's a couple sequences. Usually the musical sequences in a Spike Lee film are the ones that sell it. You know, if anything's going to be good, it's going to be that. That sequence to Bob O'Reilly
is
brilliant.
Speaking of that, I interviewed Adrian Brody this morning before I came here.
Adrian Brody.
He was he was in Summer of Sam. He was John Leguizamo's best friend who became the punk rocker.
All right, okay.
He's starring in Roman Polanski's newest film, The Pianist, which I'm not sure when it's going to open here, but it's an amazing film.
What else is...
It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, if anyone's interested in that.
What else? Can I ask you a question about this, by the way, speaking of Cannes? Because Chicago got
speaking
nominated...
Speaking of what?
Of Cannes.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't talking about... No, Cannes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm saying that. Because Chicago got nominated for all these things. It's like not playing anywhere, though.
Golden Globes, yeah.
Yeah. And
so they do that thing where they open it in L.A. and New York for weeks to get the big...
Well, that was our question. Was it there, or is it like... Because Golden Globe's international, though, so does it just only have to debut at Cannes and then it can be nominated? Is that
probably
the deal?
Probably. I mean, as long as it's a 2002 release, and it is, because I think it's going to open... When is it opening, Peter? I know, I'm
the
movie
Peter,
critic.
Peter, when's Chicago opening, you bastard?
It's
next Friday.
After I get out of the hospital.
It's next Friday.
That's what you get for showing up late.
I know. I know, I suck.
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment. We got that Lord of the Rings rap thing coming up, too, so don't go anywhere.
God.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there.
Come on, sing a boom, boom, boom. We can get nice and cozy. Why don't you come along with Mosey?
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
So we now come to the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. And showing up late after I got you on that panel at Portland Center Stage.
How come I'm not on a panel?
Well, because, I don't know, you should have been on the...
I've been on panels.
No, they did this panel on radio. It's a panel about comedy on the radio. It was at the Sandaland Diaries and the Truman Capote thing.
I have a radio show, for Christ's sake.
But let's go to the panel. So the panel before they called me was Bill Gallagher, who was on the radio but not funny. Peter Carlin, who was funny but not on the radio except on this show.
Uh-huh.
And then so they called me, and I was able to pull it out of the fire. I was able to avert disaster by being my charming self there.
Yeah.
Did your head actually fit through the door?
I'm just saying. It's comedic exaggeration.
And then Clyde was there.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. What's coming?
Dragon Clyde? Was that your idea?
Yeah. What's coming up in the Oregonian, Peter Carlin?
Well, we're going to be doing my 10 best of the year and my 5 worst coming up on Tuesday. A little pre-Christmas present for everybody.
You should try to make it late. Like, you know, Tuesday, maybe finally get it published on Thursday or something. That seems to be your leitmotif there. Kim Morgan, you will be on tomorrow night, 7 to 9, with Billy Turner for Big Fat Radio.
Everyone should listen. I have not left. I know that the sports keep coming on and interrupting our show, and we can't do it.
That sucks.
What do you guys talk about on your show?
Just whatever we want.
You should come on. You should come on tomorrow night.
Yeah. You fit in well on our show.
Yeah? Who's your co-host?
Billy Turner.
I don't know.
Well, you'll get to know him if you come on.
I don't know. You should come on. You should come on tomorrow to make up for your callous lateness today.
I feel so terrible.
Yeah, you really should. Hold on a second. I gotta play a little bit of this.
Do we have to hear this?
No, go ahead and roll this, Matt. So I was tipped off to this. This is some guy. It's called the Lords of the Rhymes. This actually is pretty well put together.
One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness find them.
Swag, but we got the key.